Hello, and welcome to episode 61 of the Knitting Pretty podcast. It is, what even is it? I don't know, April 11th, I think, 2016. And my name's Em. You can find me on the internet as Knitfast Die Cozy, particularly Ravelry and Instagram, but also Pinterest and Twitter. And there are show notes for the podcast, which you can find at emmaknits.net under the podcast tab. There's also my blog, which I keep neglecting, and my knitting patterns, which are also a little neglected. I mean, I provide pattern support, but I haven't put a new one out in a while. But whatever. There is a Facebook page, which you can find if you go to facebook.com/emmaknits. And then there's the Ravelry group, which is excellent and full of lovely people, and you should join. You can find it if you just search Knitting Pretty in the Groups tab. I think, yeah, that's all the things I normally say at the beginning, right? Right. So, welcome. Thank you both to new and returning listeners for coming to hang out with me today. I really appreciate you listening, and I really also enjoy your feedback and your communication, you know, through PMs and in the group and Instagram and all that stuff. I've been ongoingly bad at answering PMs, but I'm reading them and I do get back to people eventually, and I love hearing from you. It's great. Like, it really, really is great. So don't think that just because I haven't answered you, that doesn't mean I don't like you. I promise. And don't feel shy if you want to reach out, if there was something you wanted to tell me about, or you wanted to say hi, or anything like that, go ahead and do it. I'm relatively friendly. I don't bite. And, you know, I'm just generally a relatively pleasant person most of the time. Yeah. The only other thing is, every once in a while I check out my iTunes reviews, and they make me happy. They're very kind. Thank you so much for those of you who've left them. And if you haven't left a review or star rating on iTunes, and it is your podcast listening method of choice, I would love it if you could. It helps get the podcast out there and lets people know what they're in for. So, unless you want to say something terrible, in which case you can keep that to yourself. If you wouldn't mind. Thanks. So, as far as other administrative stuff, the thing-along is still going along. It is our life-along. It's not a craft-along, it's just a thing. It's a thing. Any sort of self-betterment project that you'd like to set a goal for and then go ahead and do, come on and do it. And join the thread in the Ravelry group. There are going to be prizes at some point, need to iron out the kinks, but we will. But right now, it's just a really positive thread full of a lot of honesty, actually. It's really, really inspiring to see how honest people are with themselves and with each other and what they want to do to improve their lives and to make themselves feel better in their skins and in their homes and in their lives and in their knitting. Like, you guys are so cool. Like, I mean that, it sounds sarcastic, but I really mean it. You guys are really cool. Thank you for hanging out with me. So, let's go right into the podcast. In my past, I have had a very busy past. Apparently, I finished so many things. The first is my Sperry-ish sweater, which is a pattern by Amy Miller that I barely followed, honestly. So, but I did use it. It provided the raglan increases in the, like, it's a top-down raglan sweater. So it provided the increases through the shoulders and everything. And then after that, I just kind of did my own thing. I didn't really pay attention at all for the sleeves, the sleeve decreases. Nah, not really. So anyway, the pattern is written in a way that is a little bit difficult if you don't like written patterns, if you prefer a, well, it's just not in point form. It's just kind of in paragraphs, and that can be really hard. And for me, anyway, I just kind of space out and then I miss things, which actually turned out to be a hidden blessing in this particular sweater for me because my gauge was off and I missed some increases and it fit perfectly without them. But, you know, if your gauge was on, you'd want to see them. So just keep it in mind. It might be one that if you want to make it, consider, I don't know, getting out your highlighter to highlight each row or something if you have a hard time reading paragraph style knitting patterns. Other than that, it's a good pattern. It's, you know, correct as far as I could tell. The bits that I followed, anyway. And clear. Just a little hard to follow. It's also really cute. It's got an I-cord hem, which I didn't do. But if you were to do the curved hems with the I-cords, it's really, really cute. I just couldn't be arsed to do it, honestly. And I'm calling the sweater project my rainbow therapy sweater. I talked about it last week. I knit it while my hubby was going through chemo and brought it with me every day to the cancer clinic and worked away on it there, which is part of the reason I cut out most of the details, the waist shaping, the fancy hem, all that stuff. I just needed something I could knit around and around and around and around. And none of this decreasing crap. That's too complicated for cancer, apparently. By the way, April is Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, so if you want to continue in the vein of last episode where I talked about testicles, like, constantly, feel free to spread some awareness. Check out your men, or if you're a man, check out your, men. Awkward. But yeah, be aware. Spread some awareness. It's a, easy cancer to cure if you catch it early. It's one of the few curable cancers, and I think that is a wonderful thing. I mean, as far as cancer goes, clearly cancer is not a wonderful thing. But it is, it's as unbad as it could be most of the time if you catch it early. But there's this great stigma about talking about your genitals, oddly enough. I accidentally do it anyway, mine and other people's, but there's nothing wrong with talking about them, with being aware of the fact that people have them, and with being aware of what's normal for you and the people whose genitals you come in contact with, and making sure that they stay safe. And that goes for, you know, other ailments too. If you know what's your normal, then you can spot when it's not. And don't be ashamed, basically. Don't ever be ashamed of having the same body parts as literally half the population. And get them seen to, if you need to. Okay? Okay. No more testicles this week. Promise. Have nothing else to say about testicles. Back to my sweater. So, rainbow therapy. Because I needed a little bit of emotional bolstering through the whole chemo thing. And so rainbows were what I did it with. Rainbows and stockinette and wonderful support from podcast listeners and friends, and you guys are great. So I knit it out of hand spun, two different colors. One was about a pound of Wool Gatherings fin wool that I spun into a 3-ply. It's just plain boring wool, very scratchy, lots of kemp. But the thing is, my tolerance for wool is uncommonly high. Like, I know that other people are not like me. I can put on an incredibly scratchy, I mean, this is like a kempy sweater. Kemp is it's a fiber that is in some sheep's fleece that is like a bristle, like a hair, like a boar bristle hairbrush. It feels kind of like that. It's kind of messed up and curly looking, like halfway between a bristle and pubic hair. Oh my gosh, this is such a foul episode already. I'm so sorry. I hope your children aren't listening, or if they are, that they're not really listening. Sorry. Anyway, I do have an explicit tag on the podcast. You have been warned. But sorry. Anyway, it's this very scratchy, very, very bristly stuff. It's much, much thicker than wool, and it's deeply unpleasant to rub against your skin, I hear. But like I said, this sweater has quite a lot of kemp, and it's just a generally unsoft, prickly wool, and I just kind of put it on, and, like, there's that moment where it's itchy, and then I just kind of, like, embrace the itch. And then I don't care for the rest of the day. And I'm like that with all itchy wools. I can just wear them next to all my skin. Like, I mean, I did find that this sweater was not a sweater to wear while trying it on without a brassiere, but beyond that, with a tank top underneath, it's fine. But I wouldn't recommend it for anybody but the most ridiculously unsensitive to wool. This particular fin wool. I have dyed fin wool that was, fin is a sheep breed, by the way, like Finnish wool. They have some really nice wool. I've dyed some white fin wool that was the most soft, puffy, wonderful roving. It was like Polworth, but a little bit meatier, you know? And none of the kemp, no hairiness to it, just soft and fluffy, but with a good bite to it. Kind of halfway between a Polworth and a Corriedale, if you're a spinner, you'll know what I mean, and if you're not, you might. And Finn sheep are very prolific in their baby having. They can have quite a few babies at once, which makes them very economical sheep to keep. So the wool itself is fairly affordable. And that's one of the many reasons I like it. It's kind of one of my desert island wools, but I would say that this particular Finn is quite kempy and scratchy and not characteristic to the other Finn that I have got my hands on. So, I don't know. If you're allergic, or not allergic, if you're easily itched by wool, keep in mind that it can be itchy. It can be soft, it can be itchy. Feel it with your hands, rub it on your face, then buy it. I think that's a pretty good thing for any textile-related thing you buy, actually. Rub it on your face first, but make sure your face is clean, because, yeah. Anyway, so it was a gray color, just a natural gray. It was very boring to spin. Really unbelievably boring. I think I spun it actually when I was starting the podcast, so if you listened to old episodes, you might remember it. Dull as hell. But it knit up into a lovely sweater. And then I striped it with some pencil roving that I got from Connie, which is an Estonian wool company that does gradient color changey yarns. And they sell this pencil roving on their Etsy shop, and I did draft it out further, because pencil roving, you could just add twist and you'd get nice yarn, but I drafted it out further to make the singles thinner so that when I Navajo plied them, which is like making a giant crochet chain and then spinning it through your spinning wheel, basically. So it gives you a 3-ply yarn from a single yarn. It's really cool. You should look up Sarah Anderson has YouTube videos, and the way she does it, she was the one who I learned from on YouTube, and it's very graceful the way she does it. And I've picked it up I'm not graceful like that, but to a certain extent, it looks like doing some sort of Tai Chi moves. It's lovely skill. Anyway, so it is a rainbow, and I got right from the top of the sweater is purple, and then it went through red, orange, yellow, green, and then I got a sort of turquoise blue at the bottom, so I got the full cycle of the rainbow in the yarn in my sweater, and I did long sleeves that come right down past my wrists, kind of covering the base of my thumbs, and it's a really great sweater, and I've worn it twice now, and it's great. I haven't even blocked it. I can't be bothered. Honestly, I know it's a kind of it's a kind of rustic, scratchy sweater. Blocking it would not change that. It might make it a little looser, which is good. It's not too small, but it's fitted. And it's okay that it's fitted, but I wouldn't mind it if it were a little more of a comfy sweater and a little bit less of a cute sweater, if you know what I mean. I mean, lots of sweaters can be both comfy and cute. But, yeah, it's just a little more form-fitting than I think the style of the sweater suits. So, I know when I block it out, it'll loosen. It's loosened up just a little bit over wearing, so I know blocking it will take it further. But not much further, because it is a nice, woolly sort of wool. So anyway, that's finished. Very happy with that. It took me 3 weeks and 2 days, I think, to knit it. Because I had a lot of time on my hands, is what I had. But thank goodness for rainbows, is all I can say to that. The next thing I finished is a mason jar cozy. The pattern is by Melissa Kwan of Miso Crafty Knits blog. She's a friend of mine. She's lovely. Just delightful person, really. She'd deny it, but it's true. And her mason jar cozy, it's called Mason Jar Cozy Three Ways, I think, and you can knit three different versions of this little sort of sock that fits a mason jar. And it's perfect for me because I take my coffee to work in a jar, because travel mugs cannot be trusted and will spill in your purse. Although there is a recommendation in one of the group's threads from a listener about a particularly good travel mug. So if you're not into the jar thing, I think it was the last episode, episode 60, maybe? Check it out. But I am into the jar thing. I think it works really well. And it lets me take like 500 milliliters of coffee, which is a lot. And yeah, so I need something to keep that warm and also to keep it from like melting the lipstick in my purse pocket by being too hot and all that. So a mason jar cozy is perfect. I put a picture on Instagram to get today. I'll try and remember to put that over to my project page as well. I just knitted out of some very rustic hand spun I did. From these last two projects, you'd think I couldn't spin a nice, soft, even yarn, but you'd be wrong. It's just that I choose not to sometimes. This was a Downs wool from Humming Bee Farms, and it was spun originally for a pair of really woolly house socks for my sister. And so I used a little bit of leftover yarn and made up this this mason jar cozy. And it is very cozy for my mason jar, which is what it's supposed to be. My next two finished objects are sewing. I finished the Centauré dress by Dirandeau Patterns, and it is a sundress with spaghetti straps. It's got four straps, like two coming off of each normal spaghetti strap spot, and then you cross, or, well, the pattern just calls for you to sort of place them in a certain place on the back, but I crossed them. They kind of look like a pentagram, actually, or like the top half of one, the way I crossed it. I was inspired by a bunch of the sort of cute little bralettes and things that people wear, and I don't feel have enough support for my particular bosom, but all the pretty crossing straps are just so pretty, and so I went with that on the back of this dress with the straps, which are just made out of bias tape. And then the bodice of the dress is sewn together from three different pieces on each sides of the bodice, like each the left and the right. So six pieces total, and if you want to, you can insert piping between the pieces, which makes a kind of the way the seams go. The darts are all moved into the seams, and it makes a kind of star shape, which is really cool. But I didn't want to put piping in this because I was using a really, really soft, drapey rayon with little flowers on it. And piping would have made it too stiff in the bodice. So if I was using something crisp, I would consider using piping, but not with this. And it turned out really, really pretty. I made it, both this and the next dress are meant to be above knee length, but having lost a lot of weight, my skin is a little droopy on my thighs. I just feel like they're not as firm as they should be. And I'm not super keen on having them flopping around out in public. So I made them, the both dresses, just knee length, like mid patella knee length, which keeps the thighs covered, which means I can wear them without stockings or tights or whatever. And also, more importantly, I bend down a lot at work to pick things up off the bottom feed tray of my printer, and I do not need to be flashing anybody my underpants in a short dress. Do not need. So having knee length, it's a little less fun looking, a little less youthful looking, but it serves my purposes. And yeah, so it turned out really cute. I wore it for a nice hot day, and it was so nice. I felt like I was wearing these shoes that are kind of like a cross between a loafer and a moccasin and a ballet flat. So they're soft suede, and they're cushy inside, but they look a little bit like very, very scanty moccasins, I suppose. And this dress and a cardigan, and I felt like I was wearing like a nightgown and slippers and a bed jacket to work. It was so comfy. It was amazing. I loved it. The next thing I finished is the Belladone dress, also by Dirandeau Patterns, which is a very pretty, how to describe it. It is a fit and flare dress. It's got pleats at the front in the skirt and darts in the bodice. So it's very fitted in the bodice, and then the skirt flares out more. It's got a waistband worked into it, and the back has an option for a cutout. So the shoulder pieces, the top of the bodice basically overlaps the bottom parts of the bodice, leaving a cut-out diamond right in the center. You'd have to look at it to understand what I'm saying, because I'm not saying it very well. But it's really pretty. What I made it out of was a lighter weight denim. It's still a little stiff for the dress. I was hoping it would soften a little bit more in washing, and it didn't. Oh well. But it is cute. Keeps the skirt flared out a little bit. And it also means that it's got enough body to it that the fact that it's nice and snug through the bodice, whether it's not tight, it's just, you know, fits nicely. It means that it keeps its shape really well and shows off curves nicely, which I like. I added some Clunie lace, which is kind of looks like, is it filet or fillet? Probably filet crochet. I don't know how it's made, but that's what it looks like. In just a natural cream color along the top edges of the shoulder bodice pieces that make the diamond. So they kind of overlap and go down along the armhole. Again, picture on my Instagram to see that, and then I'll link to the actual pattern in show notes if you're interested. It's a lovely dress. It was great to make. I really liked making both of these patterns. They were well written in the book, like the booklet that came with them. They had some language idiosyncrasies that just come from being translated from French, but nothing that would make it even remotely difficult to understand. It just kind of made me smile because it had some sort of French syntax. Like, it was correct English syntax, but it had a French flavor to it, which just made me smile. French is a prettier language than English in a lot of ways. It's a sweeter language than English in a lot of ways. Anyway, loved the patterns. Lots of fun. I'm looking forward to making more. Let's move on to my present, shall we? I have been looking for a sweater to wear with these dresses and don't really have one, so I decided I would knit one. I'm making the Vianne cardigan by Andy Satterlund, who is like my knitting designer / model of her own patterns. Girl crush. She's so freaking gorgeous. I could just die. You can see if you go look at any of her patterns, she's just bloody gorgeous. And she looks so awesome in her sort of vintagey dresses and cropped cardigans. And that's kind of what I wanted to have going on with these dresses, was a vintage style with cropped cardigans. And so I picked the Vianne. It has lace panels along the front and then same lace panels on either side of the back, and the entire center of the back is mesh. And I thought that would be kind of cool with both of these two dresses because they both have back details, whether it's the cross straps in the centaure or the cutout in the belledonne. And the mesh in the back of this cardigan would kind of have those details peek through. It might look too busy once I get it done. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I thought it would be a good combination. And then it's knit in a DK weight yarn. I'm using Barocco Vintage DK in the light gray heather, not because I really wanted to, but because it's what I have. I have some DK weight undyed yarn that I'm waiting for a perfect project for, but didn't feel that this was the perfect project for it. And so I'm just going to keep on saving that and instead using the rest of this. And this is the yarn that I knit my niece and my daughter sweaters out of this winter. And it's held up relatively well, actually. My daughter's sweater has been very durable, despite having gone through the wash multiple times and the dryer and just generally being abused by a small child who cannot seem to keep her sweaters on and likes to drag them through the dirt and spill spaghetti sauce on them and all that. So, yeah, it's held up really well, which is funny because the first time I used Vintage DK, it pilled just catastrophically, and only one of the colors in the heather pilled, actually. It was a green, and it had dark green and light green, and the dark green pilled like crazy, and the light green didn't. I don't know what that was all about. Anyway, so I think this sweater will hold up just fine, and I'm a little more gentle with my clothing than she is, so there's that. I'm knitting the 33-inch bust size because the sweater recommends knitting it with 0 to 3 inches of negative ease, and my bust size is about a 36-inch. And so 3 inches of negative ease is really more than I want, but my gauge is just a tiny bit big. It's supposed to be 19 stitches over 4 inches, and mine's like 19.25. But over the course of an entire sweater, that starts to add up, which I think will add just enough extra to the size of the sweater. And also, I will put in less decreases for the waist. It's knit top down, and so when it comes to waist decreases, I will take a few out, and then it won't be quite so nipped in at the waist, which will fit me better. I'm excited. I'm excited to have this cardigan. I've got most of, you start it by knitting the back panel, and then you knit the two front panels, and then you join them and knit downwards from there. I've done the back. Moving on to the front today. I cast on another project. I needed something to take on the go that was easy peasy and didn't require any thought, and so I cast on a brioche for beginners cowl, which is a pattern by me. It's a free pattern if you're interested in just a basic brioche cowl. It's just a tube, teaches you how to do two color brioche in the round, and it's very simple, basically. I don't really know how many stitches I cast on. It's more than the required amount. I know that. Well, here's the thing, is I don't follow patterns, including my own patterns. And I knew I wanted it to be bigger around than the sample, so I portioned out yarn for about, the pattern calls for 126 stitches around, and I portioned out yarn for about 140-ish, and then did a long tail cast on until I was out of yarn, and then joined it in the round and did the first row, which is a setup row. And when it turned out I had an odd number of stitches, I just knit two together, and there you go. Voila, even number of stitches. And when I'm not trying too hard to make a project perfect, or when it's something as simple as a brioche tube, that is my general approach to knitting. I am sometimes a lazy knitter, particularly when I'm casting it on a knit night while having fascinating conversations with cool people. So I am knitting that out of the leftovers from my last two major projects. One is the rainbow yarn from the Rainbow Therapy sweater. I still had a purple through purple, basically, rainbow gradient. So purple, the last of the blue, and then purple, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, purple. So lots of that left. And then I am using the white, or natural colored sheep white Cotswold yarn from my Metalouse shawl, which is a heavy fingering weight. So the rainbow yarn is about a DK weight, and then the other's a heavy fingering weight, but in true Stephen West fashion, I don't care. I'm just going on with my thing. If Stephen West can knit brioche in different sizes of yarn together, then so can I, goddammit. And his turns out fabulously every time, so I'm sure mine will. In fact, it is. I've got about 2.5 inches done, and it looks awesome. That white yarn, the Cotswold, has such a fantastic halo. It doesn't in the skein, but as you work it up, it just comes out of the yarn and gets all fluffy, and it looks all kind of cloudy, and it obscures the rainbow through the brioche, and it looks so cool. So that's going to be my take it along and don't worry about it too much kind of knitting, my purse knitting for the next little while. And that's it. That's all I have started that I have not finished. In my future, I just wanted to mention one pattern. It's called Avalyn or Avalyn, and it's by Vanessa Smith. Avalyn or Avalyn is spelled A-V-A-L-Y-N, and it is a cardigan. It's got an all-over twisted stitch cable, just kind of a lattice stitch, and then it's got some, 3x3 or 4x4, simple twist cables down the front. It's got a nice plush shawl collar and a cozy wide button band. And Vanessa Smith has quite a few patterns, and they're all really, she or her model, I don't know if she is her model or if her model is someone else, but the model is this gorgeous curvy woman, and Vanessa Smith's sweaters are all designed with enough negative ease to really show off a gorgeous curvy woman. And this one's no different. Even though it's a cozy, comfy, like kind of grandfatherly looking cardigan, it is sexy as heck, honestly, on this woman. So I saw that and thought, I would like to also look sexy as heck. I don't know if I will look quite that good, but one can dream. So, yeah, I put that in my queue because it's gorgeous. It's nice to see a cozy shawl-collared kind of cardigan that is done with enough negative ease to look that flattering. So, yeah, queued. So let's move on to show and tell. I have finally gotten to my spring fashion report. Yay! Normally I do it at the beginning of March, but, you know, April, March, same difference-ish. Beginning, middle, same difference. Whatever. So I'm going to do half today and half tomorrow. Tomorrow. Ha! Next episode, 2 weeks from now. So if you are a newer listener, if you haven't been around for more than 6 months, you won't know this. I do every 6 months for spring and fall, I look at the fashion trends that are out there for this season and compare them to knitting patterns. And I like to find newer knitting patterns, people who have actually tried to work with the trends, but I also try and pick up some older ones that work really well and, you know, are just serendipitously perfect. And the goal is not necessarily to be able to knit things in time to wear them for that season, because sometimes you can if you're a fast knitter or a really dedicated knitter, or if you just have extra knitting time, you can totally whip out a sweater that is seasonally appropriate. But we can't all do that. So I try to get some accessories as well, so that they could conceivably be whipped up quickly. But the goal is also to just, if you're into fashion trends, to be able to incorporate that into the actual process of knitting. So it's kind of an incorporation of the process and product knitter in a fashion-y sort of way. And I really like fashion and fashion trends. That's why I started this podcast, because I felt there wasn't really a fashion-focused knitting podcast that I could find. And that is kind of my goal for this podcast, and I do get carried away talking about, you know, genitals or whatever, but that's the overall goal of this podcast, is to try and keep fashion and DIY clothing making connected. So, yeah. So here we go. Let's talk about the spring fashion report. So I am going to do the fabrics and the actually just the fabrics today, and then I will talk about sort of key items and design elements and things like that next time. Because the fabrics, I got a lot of patterns for. I just tried to split it right down the middle with the number of things. So lace was a huge runway trend for spring-summer 2016. Generally in a fairly sexy fashion. Lots of lingerie-inspired lace. Lace on everything. Lace layered over things. Things entirely made of lace. Just lots and lots of lace. So the first pattern I wanted to mention, I have mentioned before, just I think last episode, but it's the Waiting for Rain shawl by Sylvia Bobilia. So funny saying that. Anyway, it's a garter stitch shawl that has short row sort of, they look like tears, like it's tearing open to reveal beautiful lace. So little short row patches in it. And their lace. And I really like the sort of idiosyncratic use of lace. I think it's really innovative and really pretty. And just, yeah, it's a really cool shawl. So I put that one on there. Mostly I do try and talk about patterns, though, that I haven't mentioned before. I wanted to mention, I thought, you know, lace, the classic knitted lace is the sort of pie shawl. The circular lace shawl. And so I thought I would mention Luca. It's going to be Luca. It's by Jared Flood. It's from Brooklyn Tweed Winter 2016, and it's a $6, or $7, sorry, Ravelry download. It's fairly Shetland-inspired in its style. It's going to be knit from the center out, and then with an applied edging, because that's just how you do those things. And it's got a more geometric lace pattern than some knitted lace. It's not floral, it's not got the sort of vine patterns or anything. It's got more of a geometric Shetland trees kind of pattern with some mesh and chevrons and stuff like that. So I think it's really pretty. It's a little less frou-frou than some of the more complex knitted lace patterns. But circular shawls are actually surprisingly wearable. I haven't worn my Evenstar shawl yet, just because it's precious and I haven't found an occasion for it. But it's extremely easy to wear. You fold it in half and you just kind of wrap it up around you with, you put the widest part of the circle at the back, so the center of the circle is at the back of your neck, and you can just wrap the edges, the ends, because it makes a kind of semicircle, wrap each point up to the opposite shoulder and pin it there, and you've got this sort of cozy poncho wrap situation going on that looks very, very good. It looks intentional. Sometimes knitted shawls kind of look like the shawl's more the point of your outfit than looking good in the shawl is. Sometimes. I think it looks intentional. It looks great. Just a natural color, which adds such a lovely simplicity. And it's shot on a model who's also wearing all white with a white background, a white chair. The whole thing's just lovely and minimalist, despite being a very, very complex sort of feminine shawl. So definitely a nice lace pattern and a kind of classic lace knit. The next one I wanted to mention is called April, and it's by Isabel Kramer. It's from the Piper 2016 collection from Quince & Company. Quince & Company Piper is a heavy lace weight yarn that is a blend of mohair and merino, I believe. And so this sweater has a lovely halo. But you could knit it in something that doesn't have a halo. I have intentions of knitting it in Madeleine Tosh lace if I get around to it. Which I'd like to. It is a bracelet length sleeve sweater with a boat neck. And the top of the yoke is just in stockinette, and so are the sleeves. But then everywhere, the rest of the body is done in a... It's not a leaf lace. I kind of think of it looks like feathers. But anyway, it's a lace, a simple repeating tessellated lace pattern. Not quite tessellated, but mostly, sort of. Anyway, it's an all-over lace pattern that would be very easy to memorize. I've knit this particular lace stitch, and it's only four rows of pattern, and then like rest rows, I believe. So anyway, it's a very simple, very pretty, classic lines kind of cardigan with a lovely all-over lace pattern, and it's knit in lace weight, which means that it would be light enough to actually wear in some springs and summers, in some climates. The next trend I wanted to mention was, it sort of falls into the concept of lace, but it's more of a, like, sport mesh. Like, it reminds me of the jerseys that you wear at elementary school, that are those pinnies, you know, like the horrible sport mesh stuff, but made nice and not smelling like 100 sixth graders have worn it for gym class. Thank God. Ugh. Anyway, so it's a knit mesh, and it was showing up on runways in both casual sportswear and in high-end luxury evening wear. And so I wanted to find a couple of patterns that were a mesh lace that could kind of recall that trend, but be hand-knit and look hand-knit, or look at least like a luxury knit instead of the gross sport mesh of my youth. I can't be the only person who remembers that stuff, right? You remember that? Anyway. So, the first one is called Touch the Sky, and it's by Elena Nodel. It is knit in fingering weight, and it is a short-sleeved sweater. It's an open-front cardigan, so it has no closures, and it's not meant to really join. It's just past nipple width, I guess, open at the bust, and then it's kind of a waterfall cardigan. It gets a little bit wider towards the bottom. The back, the entire back of it, is a lace, diagonal lace mesh. It comes together in a point up the center spine, which is really flattering and controls the sort of biasing of the mesh. And then that same line, the diagonal lines, because it's a downward, like, the meshes join in an upwards pointing arrow at the center back, and so they're still coming downwards when they come around the side seam, or I guess there's no seam, but around the side, and they continue downwards along the edge, or along the front pieces of this open front cardigan, and create the diagonal line that adds the extra fabric at the front. I don't know if that's making any sense. It's a lovely pattern. It's really nice. I'd actually like to make it at some point. It's very, very pretty, very flattering, and comes in a really wide range of sizes. It's a $6 Ravelry download that comes for a 30 to 52 inch chest. And it's lovely. So go check it out. It's a really, really pretty wearable version of a sport mesh kind of look. The other pattern I wanted to mention is the Ouvert Tee. It's by Emily Ringelman, and it's from Knit Scene Summer 2015. It's knit in an Erwin weight yarn, which the sample yarn is a cotton rayon silk blend, so it's really drapey. And you'd want it to be drapey if you want it to look like the sample sweater, so you'd have to make sure it was that kind of style of yarn. You wouldn't want it to be in a squishy wool yarn. You'd need to make sure it was like a plant fiber. And that would also mean that it was cool enough to wear in the summer. And it helps that it's a t-shirt, it's a pullover, it's got some extra ease in the body. It's got a little bit of positive ease, 2 1/4 inches, it says. And it's hip length with a fitted bottom hem, and then the rest of it's a little bit more blousy. And it's not a straight up mesh, it's a kind of zigzaggy mesh, but it is every non-rest row is a knit two together, yarn over kind of row, except that sometimes you're knitting two together and sometimes you're slip knit, so it kind of has this zigzag thing going on. I mean, I'm assuming that's how it's done, because that's how that sort of thing is done. But it's cute. It's very cute. It's modeled in a way that might be a little young for some people over a, well, it's a crop top sports bra looking thing. But I can see it looking great over a tank top, or if you were really brave, go with just over a bra. I mean, why not? It might be a bathing suit top that she's got it over. Anyway, makes cute cover-up, or like beach cover-up, or a wearable layered day top. The next trend I wanted to mention in fabrics is stripes. And knitting and stripes go together like things that go together very, very well. Peanut butter and jelly? Yeah. Peanut butter and pickles. Oh, if you haven't had peanut butter and dill pickles together, and I swear I'm not pregnant, I've liked this since I was like 8. It's super, super good. The salty, crunchy, sour of dill pickles with the like sticky peanut buttery goodness. Try it once. You might hate it, but if you don't hate it, you'll really like it. Anyway, so the stripes of this season's fashion are not just, you know, horizontal stripes. They're not color blocking. They are everything. There's stripes in texture, stripes in weave, stripes in, like, huge color block striped, tiny little pinstripes. Every kind of stripe you can imagine. Stella McCartney did a whole collection of lighter weight fabrics layered on a slight bias with stripes showing through each other, so it makes a kind of argyle looking thing. Stripes of all kinds, every kind of stripe, including a lot of vertical stripes. I think it was the Chloe, maybe, collection that was these beautiful flowing sort of Grecian goddess dresses with vertical stripes created by ruching together panels of different colors of fabric. Like, they're like color blocked, but they're all pleated together, and so it creates these flowing chiffon stripes that are just delicious. So anyway, I thought I'd find you a couple of different stripe patterns that had different styles of stripes going on. The first one is and I'm sorry if you can hear like tapping and stuff, my microphone and my laptop are on the same table, but I have to open tabs because I could not possibly remember all of these patterns in my head. So sorry about that. The first pattern is the Textured Laguna Wrap. It's by Chandi Agi. I'm sorry, I'm ruined your name, I'm sure, but that's kind of what it looks like. It was my best guess. Anyway, it's free through Thursday the 14th, so if you happen to listen to this fairly quickly after it comes out, then you could pick up this pattern for free. But after that, it is $4.95 on Ravelry. And it is just simple rectangular stole, but it's got stripes going across it that are worked with textured stitches. And seed stitch and eyelets, and a stitch that actually is quite hard to identify looking at it. I don't know quite what she's done. I'm actually curious to see it in the pattern. I downloaded the pattern. I think it's really neat. Maybe it's just drop stitches. It's hard to tell. But whatever she's done, it's gorgeous. And I think it's a good way of working in a subtle textured stripe into your wardrobe. And it's great for, you know, summer evenings when it's chilly, but it's not cold and you need something to wrap around your shoulders. Or maybe you're attending a wedding or some fancy thing where you need your shoulders covered in a church. I don't know. Anyway, it's pretty. And for a little while, it's free. She just asks that you share it with your social media friends, which I think is a fair trade. So I guess that's what I'm doing right now. Go me. And it's knit in this beautiful, beautiful blue. So that also helps, I think. I really like the way the stripes are done in texture rather than color. I think that's really, really subtle. The next one is significantly less subtle, but to fantastic effect. It's the Tamdu shawl by Melanie Berg. Melanie Berg's shawls are all over the Ravelry hot right now, and for good reason. She is a talented designer with a very distinct and eye-catching aesthetic, a lot of which involves stripes. And this shawl is, it's got texture and lace and color all making up stripes. It's a triangular shawl. It's a sort of squash triangular. It's wider than it is deep, so it makes a kind of scarfy thing when you wear it. But anyway, it's so the colors that she's done it in are a light gray, a dark gray, and a sort of greenish, yellowy green color. And it's got segments where the light gray and dark gray stripe, and segments, some of them are wide stripes of light gray with narrow stripes dark, and then the next set of that stripes would be dark with narrow stripes of light. But between that are panels of varying sizes of a geometric textured lace pattern. Most of the shawl has quite narrow panels of this, and then along the one triangle edge it's got a really wide segment of it, and then it has a picot bind off that kind of mimics that geometric lace, and it's just, it's really cool. It's stripey, it's textured, it's lacy, it's fascinating to look at, and I think it's quite wearable. It's certainly a statement piece. It covers the model's whole front, like it's a big shawl, comes right down to almost where her belly button would be, I think. It's hard to tell, it's in a dress. But it's pretty, and I think it would be a good one to use up multiple skeins of yarn that you have that coordinate, but you're never really sure what to make them out into. It's very pretty. So that's a for-purchase Ravelry pattern. $9, approximately, Canadian. It's in euros, 6 euros. The next stripey pattern is not out quite yet, I think. Oh, no, it just came out. It wasn't out when I made these show notes, but it is now. Thank goodness for that. It is called the Little Big Wrap Stripetastic version, and it's by Susan Ashcroft. It is a crescent-shaped shawl, a squashed semicircle, as opposed to the previous squashed triangle. And it looks like it's knit from the center back, or the center top down, which then extends the sides farther and farther as you go along. And it's done with slip stitches, so each stripe is a combination of two colors. So these long, curving horizontal stripes have then little vertical stripes within them, and then segments between them that don't have the slip stitches. And she says that you'll end up with lots of stitches, but you won't need to count a single one, so it's lovely and relaxing, which is, sounds like my kind of pattern. A lot of her testers did it in handspun, which is awesome. And it does have a, it's got a very sort of folky, rustic look to it. It's very, very beautiful, but casual looking. I don't, like, it looks sort of patchworky and, anyway, it's really, really pretty. I think I would also like to make this one. This is not going to be good for my queue, I can tell. But I like that this one has stripes, but they're not typical stripes either. They're stripes that are made up of little stripes going the other direction, and the sample one, her main one, is just in the most gorgeous colors, and I just think it's a really neat pattern. Really well worth a look if you're into crescent-shaped shawls, because it's got a lot going on, or if you have hand-spun to use, which I do. The next stripe one I felt deserved mentioning was the Glass Palace Tea by Alison Jane, which is published just recently in Knit Scene Spring 2016. It is a t-shirt with a slight, it's not a boat neck, but it's wider than a crew neck. It's halfway between a boat neck and a crew neck. It's the crew on the boat, as it were. It's fairly shapeless, it's quite boxy, and it looks like it's got a dolman sleeve or something. Well, they're too short to be a true dolman sleeve, but anyway, they're just, they're little sleeves. There's no sleeve cap going on. So it's not a super figure flattering sweater, but that's not really the point of all fashion. Some fashion is meant to make your body look good in the clothes, and some fashion is meant to make the clothes look good on your body. And this is more one of those. It shows itself off rather than you. So, you know, you can make that choice as you like. But it's done in a gray and a pink, and the main body of the sweater is all gray. And then along the bottom hem, there are four stripes running horizontally across the sweater. And then along the, I guess that would be her right, there are four vertical stripes that come out from the right side of these bottom stripes. They're the same width, so it looks kind of like a plaid where they cross over, a check mark, and then it goes over the shoulder and down, back down the other side. So it's just this very simple graphic. It's like a piece of a plaid or a piece of a check pattern, but really, really zoomed in. So I think it's neat. It uses intarsia to do the columns, and then the rows are just done with knitting, I think. I guess you'd have to do intarsia for the ends of them. Anyway, it's neat. It's done in a DK weight as well, so it's a DK weight 50-50 silk merino. Nice and drapey, which would add to the nice soft boxiness of the sweater. You'd want to make sure it fit really perfectly in the shoulders, because beyond that it just drapes, but the shoulders need to fit just right. And has 7 inches of positive ease beyond that. So yeah, I think it's a neat use of stripes, and it kind of, I think all of those patterns work well with the different kinds of stripes, like the just crazy anything that stripes is good kind of mentality with the 2016 runways. So yeah, check it out. It's neat. I like it. The next fabric trend to mention is ruffles. I don't really like ruffles. I don't like ruffles in knit. I don't like ruffles in fabric. I'm just not a ruffly person. So I have a hard time finding ruffled patterns that I think look good, because I have a hard time thinking any of them look good. But that doesn't mean they don't look good. And it doesn't mean ruffles look bad on everyone, or that you should feel like my dislike for ruffles is a personal insult if you like them, because it's so not that way. I just don't dig them, but that's fine. Whatever. There are many people in the world. So anyway, I found two patterns that I thought were a good use of ruffles that work with the way they're being used on the runways. There's a lot of asymmetrical down the front of a blouse kind of ruffle. Like it's vertical, but it isn't quite right down the center, and it's just a ruffle of fabric that just drapes on the front of a blouse or a dress. Or a lot of like crazy asymmetrical, really structured ruffles coming off of a single shoulder, or like all over ruffles. people are seeing like a lot of flamenco kind of styling in the way the ruffles are done, and that's cool, but it doesn't, you can't really do flamenco ruffles in knitting. It would get heavy and make you hate yourself because there are a lot of stitches in a ruffle. So the first one I wanted to mention doesn't actually even have ruffles, but it kind of calls to mind the look of them without the fuss. It's called the Jessica Tank, and it's by Carol Feller. It's knit in, the sample is knit in this great red, like really bright, and I want that lipstick kind of red. It was in Knitwear Spring Summer 2016, so also new, and available for download for $5.50 if you don't want the whole magazine, but don't see why you wouldn't get the whole magazine if a single pattern costs the same amount, pretty much. It's a V-neck tank. It's got a high enough neck that you could, you know, it would be work appropriate if you had something to cover your shoulders, if your work isn't into the exposed shoulders. But yeah, you, like, it's a modest tank top. From the straps down the princess seam lines, if it were a sewn garment, it has a simple cable in it. The cable, instead of twisting, it just goes back and forth, kind of wiggles. Which gives the impression of a ruffle without the ruffle of a ruffle. And it comes down both princess seams on the front and the back. It's very pretty. I like it a lot. It's got a garter hem, which is simple and sets off the ruffly cable situation. And it's straight across the back, again, quite high in the back. I think it's just, it's a good wearable tank top. Knitted tank tops aren't always wearable. They don't always have enough structure to keep them from bagging out, but I think this will. It's knit in a sportweight merino. You could mess around with fiber types, but I wouldn't use anything too drapey because it's meant to fit close to the body. It's modeled with an inch of negative ease, so if it doesn't fit close to the body, it won't have that hourglassy shape, but, you know, it's your shirt. You make it how you want. The next pattern has some significant ruffles, and they are true ruffles, and I can't imagine how many stitches are in these ruffles. It's called Sowa, Sowa? S-O-W-A, and it's by Juca van Mulligan. You should just go to the show notes if you don't know how to spell that, because it's, D-I-E-U-W-K-E is Juca. Sowa is halfway between a tank and a tee. It's a simple tank style with a little bit more positive ease than the Jessica tank, and a scoop neck and wider straps. And then along, not the princess seam lines, but almost to the side seam. So it's along the edges of the strap and then along the edge of the armhole and coming down the side seam. It has a really lightweight, drapey ruffle, and the ruffle is longer at the top, so it acts like a cap sleeve, and then it gets, I don't know if it's actually smaller, I think it is smaller at the bottom, but it also drapes in on itself and is less floofy as it gets down to the bottom of the tank, and so it has this kind of mermaidy look to it, like it's actually really pretty, and I'm not a ruffle person, but it's actually really pretty. It's very soft and feminine and kind of gives the impression of sleeves without the actually having of sleeves, and yeah, I really like it. It's a neat thing. It's knit in lace weight, which lace weight takes a while to knit anything in because of the gauge, but it's very affordable because you get a lot of it in each skein. So it only uses, even for the biggest size, uses up to 3 skeins of lace weight. And the largest size is 48 inches across the chest with 0 to 2 inches of negative ease. So fairly wide size range. Not super, but fairly wide. For most body types as well. And the ruffles kind of create an hourglassy look because they, you can't tell if any sort of bulk at the side of the tank is ruffle or if it's you. And, you know, that's kind of fun. It looks like just from the sidebar on Ravelry that she has a little girl's version too. And I could see a lot of little girls enjoying this tank because it's ruffly and feminine and, froofy. The last fabric trend I'm going to talk about today, and so the last set of patterns I'm going to talk about today, is patchwork. Patchwork is in again. It was last fall, and it is again. The patchwork that is in right now is very busy. It's generally done with patterned fabrics, so it's just really over the top. And it's not something that you can really do in knitting. I did a search for Entrelac and pulled up a pattern that I've mentioned before when trying to talk about patchwork in knitting, because I think it's really one of the better examples of a use of Entrelac that isn't really overwhelming. It's called Tenny Park, and it's a sweater by Elizabeth Morrison. It was in Knitty in 2011, and it's a free pattern. It's a simple three-quarter length sleeve sweater with a wide crew neck, and the center panel of the sweater is done in Entrelac, and everything else is done in a solid. So it's just got this simple center detail with the... it's just a rectangle with Entrelac, and it's done in a changing colored yarn in the pattern, which is really, really cool looking. And then everything else is just a plain color, and so your sweater isn't totally insane looking. Like, all over Entrelac sweaters get a little Cosby sweater-ish a lot of the time. I'm sure there are beautiful ones out there, but there are a lot of patterns in Ravelry, if you look them up, that are just not super beautiful. So I think this is a good use of Entrelac in a sweater without it being totally wacky. And if you haven't knit Entrelac before, which I haven't, or if you don't know what it is a technique of knitting basically squares, small squares of fabric that are one direction, and then you knit back across and use picking up techniques to knit squares in another direction, so it kind of looks like a basket weave. You actually have different directions of knitting, but they're all connected. Anyway, Tenny Park. I'm sure I've talked about it multiple times trying to think about nice Entrelac patterns. The next patchwork, or the last patchwork one I wanted to mention, is actually something that came up in the ads down the side of my my Ravelry stash. And it was perfect for this. It is called the Log Cabin Shawl. It's by Cassie Castillo, or Castillo. And it is a shawl built using the log cabin technique that is in quilting, basically, that you build upon a smaller square by adding a square next to it, and then you add a rectangle the length of both sides together, and then so on and so forth. So adding increasingly bigger squares is the sort of patchwork technique. But with this, it's done by knitting increasingly bigger striped panels. So some of them are squares and some of them are long straight lines. And so it does look heavily patterned, which I think works with this patterned patchwork trend. And you could do it in any number of colors or not very many at all. Some people have done it in none, and it actually looks really cool in a variegated yarn, because you get that subtle directional variation without anything too crazy. It's really neat. It's a nice pattern. I like it a lot. I think it's just complicated enough to be a fairly impressive project without being totally nuts. It can be done at any gauge. It's designed for any gauge, and so you can make it modularly and just keep on growing it as you see fit. It says 800 yards, but I suppose that would depend on what yarn you were making it out of. Anyway, check it out. It's a $6 Ravelry download. So that is today's patterns for the fabric segment of the fashion trends. I did want to mention a couple things that just don't lend themselves well to knitting. One is printed fabrics that are really busy florals. Tiny florals, big florals, doesn't matter, but they're really busy, because floral prints are always in for spring, but also have been in for every season for the past year and a half, I think, but in really unconventional ways. And these ones are just like, it's getting kind of crazy. Lots of unusual color combinations and size and texture, and anyway, if you sew and you're into floral, I would say this is your season to buy that crazy one that you never really thought made sense, but you kind of were drawn to. I can't be the only person who sees floral fabrics like that and just, like, you really want them, but you're like, is that ugly or beautiful? I can't tell. Just buy it. This season, at least, it's beautiful. And by the time you've fallen in love with it, you won't care if it's ugly next season. The other is metallic fabrics and sequins and sparkles, and particularly the color silver rather than gold. If you've got some sequined yarn, I know Art Yarns does some sequiny things, or a yarn with a metallic element, now's the time to knit it. Or if you sew, there's a lot of neat fabrics available. Like, one of the things that's really popular is linens that have been, like, it's a dyed linen, but then the fabric surface has been treated with a metallic something or other, and it makes them shimmery and metallic and beautiful. Just lots of sparkle and metallic, and, like, full body sequins all over everything. So, again, not something that translates super well to knitting, but if you sew or you like to look for particularly, like, vintage costume jewelry or things like that, and now's the time to wear them. So that is that. That's part one of the fashion report is over. I will catch you next time with the rest of it, and lots more patterns to share, and hopefully your queue has grown just the amount you wanted it to, and no more. But there's more coming. So let's finish off with my obsessions over the past 2 weeks. Plurals are hard, apparently. The first one is lactose-free ice cream. Yeah, I know. Woo, right? But I hadn't been able to eat real ice cream for a really long time. I have lactose issues. They are gross and unpleasant. And so I would rather just not eat ice cream than deal with the digestive fallout of ice cream. But sadly, no ice cream is no way to live. And I had been eating, like, coconut milk-based ice creams, but they're just not the same. They're good, but they're not the same. And so, anyway, Chapman's brand makes a lactose-free, no-sugar-added ice cream. And I thought, that sounds gross. Why would you ruin it by not adding real sugar? You know, like, God, we can't have lactose. Are you gonna take away our sugar as well? All the sugars. You can't have any sugars. But despite having an artificial sweetener in it, and I mean, lactose-free milk is by nature quite sweet tasting, so it does have a sweetness that comes from non-artificial sweeteners, but then it's sweetened with Splenda. If you avoid artificial sweeteners, then maybe this isn't for you. But I find that Splenda, when mixed with real sugar in almost any amount, is significantly not disgusting. I think aspartame always tastes like aspartame, no matter how much or little of it you use. All the xylitol and those kind of sweeteners, I don't like the aftertaste. I find that Splenda, the aftertaste is really, really, really mitigated by adding a little bit of real sugar, and also strong flavors with it. And so this Chapman's ice cream, I've now tried the maple walnut and the butter pecan, because I know what I like. And I there's a chocolate and a black cherry and a vanilla. I'm gonna guess the vanilla is the least good, because vanilla is generally the least good ice cream. But also lets flavors like the Splenda sweetness come through. Black cherry, I don't know. Maybe I'll try it. I'm sure the chocolate one's good. It's chocolate. How could you screw it up? But anyway, the two I've tried have been actually really delicious, and because they have no added sugar, they are lower in calories than otherwise they would be. And they're really good. And they're lactose-free, which means I can eat it. And oh, happy day. You know, I'm so excited to be able to have real ice cream and not have to, it's still expensive compared to the cheap buckets of ice cream that I get for my husband and child, but not having to spend between, like, the coconut stuff, it's the same price as Häagen-Dazs, and it's not always as good. And sometimes it's way more. Like $10 for a pint of ice cream. You have to be kidding me. For not even real ice cream. So this stuff is cheaper and delicious, and I'll take it. Speaking of things that aren't having things in them, lactose-free ice cream. How about some coffee-free coffee? I used to be coffee-free for a short while in my life, and now I just need a decaf in the night because otherwise I stay up all night. Somebody should remind my yesterday self that you don't have a cup of coffee at 8 at night because, yeah, up all night. Anyway, when I wasn't drinking coffee, I substituted a product called Krakus. And Krakus is now called Akava, A-K-A-V-A. And it is a powder made of roasted barley and chicory root and something else and sugar beets or something. Anyway, it's like an instant coffee powder. It tastes about as good as any instant decaf would, and probably better than a lot of instant coffees. And it's completely caffeine-free. Decaf coffee is not caffeine-free if you have a caffeine sensitivity. I know for some people it sets off horrendous cramping and digestive shenanigans. And even decaf isn't safe. This isn't even coffee. But it tastes like coffee. Chicory root has been used as a kind of poor man's coffee flavoring during the Depression. Anyway, I'm enjoying a cup of it right now. It's surprisingly good. If you cannot drink coffee or choose not to drink coffee, but you like the taste of coffee, it might be worth trying. It's not terribly expensive for a bucket of it, so if you don't like it, it's not much lost. Also, it's good in recipes that call for instant coffee, like devil's food cakes. Chocolate cakes are always made better by adding coffee, whether you add espresso as part of the liquid ingredients or you add instant coffee as part of the dry ingredients. Either way, it is the magic that brings out a dark chocolate cake, like, takes it to a whole new level. So good. Even if you don't like coffee, it makes it so much better, and Krakus, or Akava, can be used in place of that. It just has that dark, roasted taste that, like I said, makes chocolate so much more wonderful. But yeah, if you like coffee-free coffee, I'm enjoying it with some lactose-free milk, because apparently I don't like anything to be what it actually is. it's actually pretty good, and it's worth trying. It's good with sweetener or black. Like, I drink it black most of the time. It's good. My second obsession is cropped cardigans, and why are they so freaking hard to find? This season, I cannot find cropped cardigans in stores. They're all, like, the cropped ones I can find are all really loosey-goosey. I don't want an open-front, floppy little cropped cardigan thing. I want, like, close-fitting, vintagey, cute cardigans. Of course, they are available on ModCloth, but ModCloth is in the US, and their prices are in US dollars, and their shipping is in US-ness, and Canadians can't afford that shit right now. Our dollar is so bad compared to the US dollar. So, I don't know, maybe if I need to treat myself, I'll get some from ModCloth. But why are cropped cardigans so hard to find? Honestly. That's why I'm knitting the Vianne cardigan. Because I couldn't find one. And I spent like hours thrift shopping for one, I couldn't find one. Very disappointing. But when you're into wearing cute little dresses, cropped cardigans are kind of important. So, yeah, anyway. I've spent a lot of time over the past 2 weeks trying to obtain a cropped cardigan and just got frustrated and buckled down and I'm knitting one. So, lucky me, I guess. My third obsession, I guess, follows in the Akava vein. Tea. I am so obsessed with tea these days, and it's partly because at work I could not drink coffee all day. I would be like a vibrating mess if I did. Caffeine didn't used to affect me so strongly. It really does now. But, so yeah, tea. And I still drink caffeinated tea most of the day, but it's just got so much less than coffee. Green tea, black tea, rooibos tea, herbal tea, all the teas. I love them all so much, and I have been just obsessively buying different brands and different types. I found a delicious Celestial Seasonings mix, a really wide range of herbal teas and also some chai black teas. And I think it's Celestial Seasonings that I found a honey vanilla white chai, like white tea chai. Fantastic. President's Choice, if you're in Canada or have access to Loblaws grocery stores, President's Choice makes a bloody delicious ginger peach herbal tea. I really like, actually, the President's Choice brand. I think they make a lot of really good variety in teas. They make a chocolate chai herbal tea, and they also make a chocolate mint black tea, which is pretty good. Chocolate flavored tea is often gross, but these ones are good, if not perfectly chocolatey. I mean, they're not hot chocolate. They're never going to be hot chocolate, but they're still pretty good. Classic Earl Grey. All the teas. So I have been consuming tea like a fiend and buying tea like a fiend, because when you have like 4 or 5 cups of tea of various herbal or non-herbal types per day, you run out really quickly. So yeah, that has definitely been an obsession of late. And that, my friends, is that. I will catch you all next time. In the meantime, I hope you have an awesome 2 weeks with your families and friends and knitting and all those cool things. Come join the thing along. Come do your things along with everyone else. And you can hashtag thing along on the social media if you're so inclined. If you're not, that's cool too. I need a new thing along project. Mine was the rainbow therapy sweater. So I need to find something new to commit to sort of try for. I don't know what it's going to be. I have to think about it. But that's the great thing about the thing along, is it can be pretty much anything as long as it fits within the realm of setting a goal and doing something to improve yourself, your life, your knitting, your crafting, your world, your environment. Just choose something and make it better, basically. So yeah, I need to do that. Have a lovely 2 weeks. Happy knitting.